Time for another local hero spotlight with Claire Morneau from CESA, the local hero, folks, and the legendary Karen Randall of Randall's Farm in Westfield. You are an
icon. Ludlow.
Ludlow. Randall's Farm in Ludlow.
Stereo sound.
You are an iconic voice on the radio, as well as an iconic farm/farm stand. Tell us about the first Randall of Randall's Farm.
The first Randall of Randall's Farm was my grandfather, who grew turkeys during World War II on the farmland that is Randall's Farm. The Randall's Farm store and farm that some people remember from 30 years ago, my father actually built in 1962, and that was the first farm stand. So he was the second. But in between the turkeys, there were chickens and egg production, like many New England farms started that way, in poultry.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father was an entrepreneur and delivered eggs all over the Pioneer Valley and came home with products from other farms like asparagus and cider. And my mother sold them with fresh eggs in front of a little house with a shed next to it, which is very close to the existing Randall's Farm. And that was the first little farm stand. I am told that my brother and I were in a playpen on the porch while she ran out to wait on the occasional customer. And then in 1962, my father took the big dive and built his first farm stand, which is now the Elsie's Creamery building.
Mm-hmm.
That continued until 1997, when I opened what we know now as Randall's Farm and Greenhouse and Elsie's Creamery. My father passed away in 1987. He was 54 years old.
Wow.
So I was in my early 30s, and it took me about 10 years to really decide what was going to happen. Being the type of person whose busman's holiday was looking at every new farm stand all over the Northeast.
It's in your blood.
We grew a lot of field crops, too. We grew strawberries for 40 years, and tomatoes and cucumbers and squash and all those kind of things that everybody grows and sells in the valley. And we grew a lot of specialty things, Swiss chard and radishes and things like that. And once my dad died, we kind of scaled it down a little bit, and then we had some labor changes, and it was very hard to hire farmers. So about 2008, after 40 years of growing strawberries, I reluctantly stopped growing them because I was the farmer and the retail person,
mm-hmm.
too, in a brand new big building. But my mom and dad started it. You know, my two sisters jumped. We always worked. We all grew up washing squash and cukes and pickles and picking beans and strawberries and doing all those kinds of things together. When the new store came to be, we all had a little chat, and they left great jobs and came on board to Randall's Farm. This edition, I call it my new store. It's old now. Next year it'll be 30 years. This year it's 29 years. Older than most of you listening, probably.
This is public radio, so no.
And older than most of my employees who think I'm their grandmother.
You have a creamery on site, but at no point in this farm's illustrious history did you mention anything about dairy.
My mom says, as we were talking last night, my mom's 93.
Wow.
Ooh.
And she still lives next to the existing farm. And as we were reminiscing, and she said, yes, they not only had chickens, but your father had some cows.
Ah.
And she said, and when he went hunting, I had to milk the cows. But we didn't have a big dairy. Ludlow had a lot of small dairies in those days. And we just had a few cows because I think my father liked them. We were mostly egg producers. The creamery actually was born out of, we had closed the old store, moved into the new store, and you know, if you dream it, maybe you can do it. And I had a good friend who had helped me in the transition from the old store to the new store. And in Ludlow, there used to be Miller's Dairy Bar, where there is now a hotel and a Taco Bell.
Okay, I know exactly where you're talking about
okay,
now.
Okay, yes. And they had Hortense the cow, was a neon cow that was up there. Chuck and I started talking about Miller's Dairy Bar and me saying, I always wanted to buy Miller's Dairy. It's a shame. This is what's happened, blah, blah, blah. And Chuck, who was probably maybe 50 at the time, and he said, I have one more entrepreneurial career left in my life, Karen. And he went to Penn State I took the ice cream short course in January of 1998. And in June of 1998, Elsie's Creamery was born, which is named after my mom, Elsie.
Oh, that's so nice. And we'll say that the fifth Beatle of the Fabulous 413, Jerry, who helped Karen get into the studio today, I overheard him while you were loading in all the goodies that you brought, that Elsie's Creamery is his favorite ice cream, bar none.
We have made ice cream in small batches since 1998, and July is National Ice Cream Month. So in honor of that, I brought you some ice cream, strawberry, that
yes.
A lot of times has local strawberries in it, and Dark Side of the Moon, just to kind of reminisce about where...
the Artemis space mission, Pink Floyd, it could be the astronomy thing that we did this week with our membership listeners. There's no shortage of that. So what's strawberry ice cream is self-explanatory. What's in Dark Side of the Moon?
Dark Side of the Moon is chocolate ice cream with a caramel swirl and chocolate-covered caramels.
I love it. Dark Side of the Moon.
Yes.
So Randall's Farm and Greenhouse is not a small-scale farm store. You have, like, prepared foods. You have a bakery. I'm curious about how you decided to make the leap in 1997 from a smaller-scale store to really kind of a full-service grocery store.
Well, we had outgrown our existing farm stand, and I always thought, okay, we need a better loading dock. We need a bigger cooler. We need to get rid of some of the things we have and add some new things. We had a beer and wine license, which we still have. It was one of these things. Am I going to get all the way out or get all the way in? I turned a certain age. I was single. I had no kids. So what do you do? Do you, like, just jump ship or do you jump in both feet? And with the help of a lot of people who I did a very informal independent survey of that I thought were smarter and more successful than I was, I jumped in both feet. And Farm Credit Bank was my partner. I built something much bigger than I had envisioned. We always had, like, plants, and so we built a big garden center, which probably should have been a big kitchen because of the way the trends and what people do.
Uh-huh.
And we kept growing produce. We built a big cooler and loading dock. And my dad always used to say to me, you know, what do you want to get bigger for? You're going to have to work harder. And I was like, no. This is going to be easier to work in. We're going to have all these managers. And now he's passed away. I'm walking around in that store, and I can hear him saying, and what do you want to get bigger for? You're going to have to work harder.
We're talking with Karen Randall from Randall's Farm in Ludlow and Claire Morneau from CESA, the local hero folks.
As you mentioned, like, you're not farming at Randall's Farm anymore. So talk about some of the partnerships that you have with local farms that maintain your stock at Randall's Farm.
We have lots of partnerships. I call them my farmer friends because when you grow up in the valley and you grow up in farming like I did, and when things have happened to you in your life, like people have passed and left, and these wonderful people step in and say, Karen, remember, your strawberries need an inch of water a week when we're growing strawberries, and Karen, don't forget to file your 61As with the town. And
what's that?
It's like a tax lien the town has to give you a tax break for farming, uh-huh, taking your land and farmland. All these people would help me, and as we farm less and less, I bought more and more. So, you know, we start in the spring. The first crop is usually asparagus. With Dan Smirowski in Sunderland, I bought from his aunt and uncle before Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Norse Farm for berries, who were my partner in growing. And Tim Norse, I can't say enough about because he was right there on the other end of the phone anytime I had a question growing berries. And now I'm still buying, at this time of July, beautiful strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, black raspberries.
See previous episode for our time over there at North Farm. Tim Nurse, as we know he likes to call it.
Yeah.
He's the connection to the Salem witch trials.
I listened to that.
Appreciate it.
And then we have Calabrese Farm in Southwick, East Long Meadow Meadowbrook Farm, McKinstry Farm, all for different things during the summer. We incorporate a lot of local produce into what we do. Prepared food, like, grew exponentially. It was not what I anticipated. And, you know, it's like 40% of what we do today. But right now is like a wonderful time for produce. Corn is lovely, just getting really lovely. Yellow squash, green squash, pickling cukes, cucumbers. It's all exploding right now. And, you know, everybody can't wait for tomatoes. When are you going to have tomatoes? But we have some beautiful tomatoes from Fairview Farm in Waitley from their greenhouses, mm-hmm, that taste delicious. We try to buy our flowers in the spring as local as we can. We're all about local because that's my route. You know, like somebody might say, oh, you know, well, it's cheaper from here or blah, 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 price-wise. And, you know, you have to be competitive. But I try to stay and support the people that are doing the work locally, that are marketing locally, that are putting out a great product. Like Cisa always said, you know, the trip from the farm to the table is very short when it's local. And that's what we try to emphasize. You know, I'm passionate about it.
That's Karen Randall from Randall's Farm in Ludlow and Claire Morneau from Cisa, the local hero folks.
So Randall's Farm has been a member of CISA's Local Hero Program probably since the beginning, 25 plus years. And so you've been connected, obviously, through, you know, your own childhood and family background, but also through CISA to this larger local food movement. I'm curious, like, what your observations are about what has changed.
A lot's changed. There are not the same people. Farms have changed. There are less local flower growers than there ever were. That's been a real issue the last couple of years. I mean, we had a farm in Northfield, 5-acre farm, which closed in 2018 and sold it to Tim Nurse.
I drove by there over the weekend at the Northfield drive-in.
And their farmer works at North now.
Yeah. And Aaron works at Norse, and also their production manager. She's still in the industry. She was fantastic. So we did that for 11 years after my brother passed. And then so we lost our main supplier of flowers. Then we had another person from West Springfield that we always bought from forever, and they retired last year. Mm-hmm. So that's a big change. Vegetables, you know, generationally, they have changed and changed their focus somewhat. Mm-hmm. Suppliers have said, okay, we don't know if we're going to have this next year. We may or we may not. So it sends you on a scramble. That's what has changed. And inputs have changed, prices have changed dramatically. As everybody knows, produce prices are crazy. You know, I'm selling a quart of strawberries for $8.99, and, you know, when I produced them, they were $2.99 or $1.99, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a lifetime ago. I don't want to see more changes because I don't want to lose more producers, mm-hmm. and I think that is eventually what's going to happen. We're old. You know, a lot of the solid producers that I've done business with for a long time are old, and some of them have new generations and some of them don't. And that's difficult. Farming is hard and it is not lucrative. I mean, on certain scales it can be, but you have to love it. You have to be passionate. You know, farmers work from 5:30 in the morning till 9:30 at night or longer, or they get up all night and run irrigation pumps. And I don't think that the consumer understands what it takes to produce the food that they eat and complain about the prices that they have to pay. And when I get something, you know, we're open year-round. I buy produce from all over the country, all over the world, because there isn't always a local supply. And when I get something inexpensive that came all the way from California, I say, what did that poor farmer get?
Mm-hmm.
He got nothing. Like, I barely paid for the packaging on this. You know, I think the way produce is marketed in big stores and chain stores, it's marketed as an attraction, but not the value. And the problem with produce that you can't keep the value is that it's so perishable that you have to sell it. So you have to sell it at any price. You know, the question is always, you know, I always say the first loss is the best loss. So if I have something that I paid $10 for and it's going to be bad in 2 days, I might sell it for $5 because I'm going to get something.
Yeah.
That's the problem with produce. People say, why is it so expensive? Supply. If there's no supply, it's expensive. If there's a beautiful supply, if it's the best product, that's when it's the least expensive, and that's sad. Because anything else, you know, the premium gets the best price. In produce, if there's huge production, and it might be the most beautiful product of the season, the price is low if everybody's producing it like that. And the premium does not get the best price. That's the pitfalls of farming. It's hard for people to commit to this lifestyle forever. And labor is a big issue for farming. It's hard work. And no matter how you mechanize it, it's still hard work. And I think the consumer has to understand that. Farmers sure do. And they're passionate about what they do, and that's why they do it.
That's Karen Randall from Randall's Farm in Ludlow and Claire Morneau from CISA, the local hero folks. Karen, you did bring a lot of stuff with you. What do we have here?
I just wanted to show you that we take the local, you know, we do a lot of prepared food, but we try to incorporate as much local as we can. So this time of year, we talk about blueberry sour cream pie. And the blueberries come from Westfield, from Kaczynski Farm. And I have partnered with Kaczynski for years. I actually had an ad at one time on the radio that said, we get the call around the 4th of July, the blueberries are ready. It's Gene and Sue Kaczynski, and written by Joe O'Rourke, of course.
I was going to say, that sounds like Joe O'Rourke.
Yes, and Karen is the iconic voice of Randall's Farm, which is, you have a wonderful radio voice. I kind of alluded to that at the beginning here.
You're giving me too much credit, because some of my radio voice is Tonya King.
Right, I know that. Tonya King, another radio professional, sounds like Tonya King, but you are also on some of the ads, too.
I am.
Yeah, right.
I am. And I'm on the TV ads. If you see me, you know it's me.
And today, I saw an ad for Randall's Farm in the Republican.
There we go.
Like, right at the bottom.
You can't
voice
the newspaper, unfortunately.
And then I brought cider donuts, always made with local cider. Carlson Orchards in Massachusetts, sometimes Breezeland Orchards apples. When it's their apples, it's labeled Breezeland. And then I brought cucumber salad, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I eat it almost every day all summer, made with local cucumbers and just white vinegar, salt, pepper, a little bit of sugar. Delicious. So that I brought a bowl of that. So I want you all to dig in.
And have a picnic.
Yes. So you have ice cream, you have donuts, you have blueberry sour cream pie.
And we have a vegetable to make us feel better about the rest of it.
And you have something healthy. It's all healthy.
In
moderation.
Its own way, yes.
Moderation.
I want to try all of these things, but I wanted, you were mentioning that you don't farm the fields at Randall's Farm anymore, but they're still farmed.
They are. Yeah. You know, we sell local beef, and our local beef is from Bud Ellison, who I think you interviewed.
We did. On a very cold day.
Yeah.
And Bud is...
Cute Hereford.
He's a fireman, he's a farmer, but Bud's a lot of things, and a great friend. So Bud grows field corn for his cattle, beef cattle, at Randall's Farm on our land, and he plants our winter rye and bales the straw. So we sell tons of straw in the fall for ornamental use and all other kinds of uses. And hay, it started when we had a corn maze, and Bud planted the corn maze, and then evolved into... let's partner and keep the land open and in agriculture until we figure out where we're going and if we're going to get back into growing field crops, because we grew field crops forever. So it's very good for our land. It's good for Bud, and we have a great working relationship. We plant a little patch of sunflowers and have fun with those. And that's about all. We do some flowers in the spring in our greenhouses for retail sales, but have gotten away from most of the field crop farming, and a lot of it is labor. I had to make a choice. Am I going to manage a farm, or am I going to manage this big retail and support all my farmer friends? Mm. So that's the choice that I made. So we keep in farming, keep the land open, keep it committed to local agriculture by partnering with Bud.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to try the cucumbers.
Okay. It's taste test time.
Wow.
Karen is lifting up the pies.
Oh, this is... Khaleesi's. There's more in here than just what you said. There's red onion, and I think is there radish, too?
No, just red onion.
Just red onion? Yeah.
Just red onion.
Give a little bit of a kick for the cucumber salad. Then what's that ice cream you've got in that little plastic bag?
Ice cream.
Yeah,
we better put it in there.
Yeah.
You have a freezer, I hope.
We do.
We do.
We're going to have to do an all-staff email.
This is delicious.
Yeah,
I'm so glad.
The cucumber salad is very refreshing. Yep. It's air-conditioned here in the studio, but I can imagine on a hot day, eating this would be so refreshing and nourishing.
Well, and it's light, it's a perfect summer thing.
Yeah, it's really well-balanced. It's neither too sweet nor too sour, just perfectly in the middle.
I taste it today. Sometimes, it could be a little too much vinegar, but...
I like it. Vinegary and a little bit of the sweetness. It's mm-hmm. delicious. Mm-hmm.
So do the prepared foods at the store change a lot throughout the seasons?
Well, we have standards. Cucumber salad is only a summer thing because we only make it when there are cucumbers that don't have wax. Most cucumbers have a little bit of food wax coating on them when they come from other places to keep them fresh. So local cucumbers don't. And then our vegetable selections, we make entrees every night. So the side dishes will be more local asparagus when there's local asparagus, or... this time of year, a lot of grilled vegetables with yellow and green squash and those kind of things. they change daily. Like, you know, we make chicken pot pies. Well, they go on vacation for the summer, we say, because it's too hot for chicken pot pies.
Yeah.
So those change. We make a lot of different salads, like pasta salads and potato salad, more flavors in the summer, where the rest of the year we have like standards, bean salads and things like that. So we do change it up. Pies, you know, we only make blueberry sour cream pie now through Labor Day. We make strawberry pies only at the peak, like June, local strawberry season. We make apple cake all year round and apple crisp because they're favorites. But we, some of these things we make, you know, we make strawberry shortcakes in like parfait cups. We make those with fresh strawberries in June, and then we
already missed it.
Other
yeah.
things.
And
yeah.
what a year for strawberries it was!
I know,
goodness.
But
and,
now it's blueberries.
And,
I
rub it in.
And from north, I hear I may have fresh strawberries all summer because they are picking ever-bearing strawberries in their high tunnels.
They're doing all that technological insight into what strawberries can last for how long, and so there you go. You're reaping
always,
the benefits at Randall's.
And they're always looking at varieties that bear at different times.
And I was there on Saturday myself doing the pickup and got to talk to everybody there, and it's always good to touch base in person and find out how long they think things are going to last. And he said, you know, we could have strawberries all summer for you, Karen, depending what happens weather-wise. And it's an experiment this year because they're picking a different culture. They're always visionaries on the berry scene from the very beginning and always with, you know, the first tissue culture lab and all of that kind of thing. So I hope they're going to stay in fresh berries forever because fresh berries are a sideline, as they said, of what they actually do. But it's also like the trial for what these berries are going to look like, taste like. So as long as they continue to grow that trial, hopefully we'll continue to have fresh berries.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Connecting the dots from the other farms we visited on these local hero spotlights and see the reaping the benefits of these strawberries at Randall's farm in Ludlow.
You mentioned that when you were growing up, Ludlow had a number of, you know, smallish scale dairy farms. And I think of Randall's farm as really kind of a central hub in Ludlow in terms of local food access. I'm curious just like how the town, what your observations are about how the town has changed around you and how you see Randall's as fitting into the community.
You know, all I wanted to do is build a better store, easier to work in. And it has evolved into this community hub, as you say. The town grew, and because of our location near the turnpike, we also benefited from the growth of like Belchertown, South Hadley, Chicopee, you know, all the surrounding communities. So for us, our location was the biggest asset, I think, that we had. And then putting out a good product and doing a good job and welcoming people and our values, the customer's always right. My mission statement, you know, everyone's like, what's your mission statement, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't pay a lot of attention to that kind of thing. But when we built the new store, I wanted happy customers and happy employees. It's always a challenge and something that we're always working at. So the community, we're in a great community, and we're surrounded by great communities that give us a great labor pool for teenagers. And I'm very proud of a lot of my alumni who have gone on to achieve. Some of them, I'm sure I don't even know how great they are, but others, you know, I have a soap opera star who was a Randall's alumni.
Oh.
And I have a woman who is a partner in a WNBA basketball team, owner, partner. I have a young man who did a stint second to the chief of the SEC in Washington, but is the Northeast supervisor for Cooper's Library and Price Waterhouse, you know, and you think, okay, these are kids that like worked at Randall's. So a lot of successes, you know, that makes us happy. It's a great community.
Yeah.
And it's a great valley. Great farmers, great support. CESA, you know, raising the awareness of local farming to people who have stepped a couple generations away from it. You know, our farm always, when my father was farming, we had a lot of people that immigrated from Portugal that worked in a factory at night, and they worked on the farm in the morning because they came from farms, they were farmers, they had two jobs. It was great. Their kids pick strawberries, you know. It's a different environment now, and that type of labor pool doesn't exist. And those generations have stepped away from what it was. So CISA, I think, keeping that in the forefront is very important.
Thank you. Yeah, you talked to older folks, you know, further north in the valley, and so many people worked on tobacco farms when they were kids.
Yeah.
Like, you hear that so often,
but,
and it's,
you know,
changed
I,
so much in terms of...
I forget my age, and, you know, Ludlow was a lot of little dairies. You know, the school bus was like a rural route to go up Center Street, and now it's full of beautiful homes, and the dairies have long gone. And, you know, we had Halleck's Dairy, we had Schenier's Dairy, we had Miller's Dairy, just to name a few. We had Daylight Dairy, Zarlin's, you know, in one town. And, you know, none of that exists. And then we're trying to support Maple Line Farm and our family farm and carry their products. Whether they, you know, we don't have a, they don't do a huge volume, and they're not competitive because of the
federal restrictions.
Well, and I think the convenience stores of the world that give milk away, you know, and the club stores that give milk away. But we're in it with them, and we sample eggnog from Maple Line at Christmas.
Oh, yum.
Things like that. So,
to make an eggnog ice cream?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know. That's a fall, you know. Because the creamery windows are shut, we close the creamery like in October for the window service. We make ice cream all year, though. We sell half gallons all year.
Yes. Which was the other good thing for me to learn, because it is very, very difficult to get local milk in Hampden County. So my partner, who drinks a lot, drinks milk like your 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And my insistence that we make sure that the milk that we're drinking is local, even though Hood is local milk. But like getting it from individual dairies definitely feels better, like more direct support. And getting that in Hampden County has been difficult until I went to Randall's. And I'm like, oh, I have options.
Ta-da.
This is great.
And we have another new one, Pila's, who's very
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had them too. They're very good.
We have his milk too. So we have three smaller dairies now. And we do have Hood.
Hood's our big little milk.
Yeah.
Right.
Local
right.
milk
right.
place.
Because
I just drove by the factory when I dropped my wife off at the airport earlier.
And it's good to remember, like, Hood is, like, it's local dairies that all pile their milk to make Hood.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to put out an all staff so that the whole NEPM crew can taste the pies and the ice cream, and we're going to keep the cucumber salad, I think, for ourselves. But we appreciate you bringing the bounty of Randall's Farm here to the NEPM studios, Karen Randall.
Well, I wanted to show you, we don't farm per se, but we support farmers and we incorporate the local products into what we do every day. And are very conscious of that, mindful.
And that's what CISA does every day, too,
yeah.
trying to remind us all about the importance of our local food systems and supporting those local farms.
The conduits are just as important.
And, yes. and the family farms. You know, our farm is still, you know, my two sisters, two of my nieces are with us. My mom still tells us what she loves and what she doesn't love about is what we're doing.
Farmer emerita.
Well, maybe we should ask before we wrap up what your favorite things are. You mentioned the cucumber salad, but like if somebody were coming, if a, you know, VIP were coming to Randall's and you wanted to really wow them, what would you point them towards?
The ice cream, the cucumber salad, the blueberry sour cream pie, the things that I brought you. Also the produce that is so spectacular right now coming from local farms. The corn's delicious. The berries are sparkling, beautiful. That's what I would point them towards.
Karen Randall from Randall's Farm in Ludlow, the third generation of that farm there. And Claire Morneau from CISA, the local hero folks. You can find out about all of our local heroes, many of whom are supplying Randall's Farm with all their good stuff at buylocalfood.org. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.